Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
On board and join us, weigh in on the Mookie Betts trade, or the Mookie Betts contract extension, I should say, at this point in time. Expectations for the Red Sox this season. And Cam Newton, by the way, he has arrived. He arrived at Logan. Channel 7 had it on its Twitter account tonight, where Cam Newton has arrived at Logan Airport. So he's here. He's ready to stay. Training camp right around the corner for the Patriots. Any of that on the table at 617-779-7937. I did want to get back to the Red Sox, though, because one thing popped out to me yesterday. When the lineup was put out there, J.D. Martinez was hitting second. He was also hitting second tonight. Now, he did have a hit last night, and he had the home run, of course. And by the way, J.D. Martinez, that home run he hit last night, I don't think people appreciate how difficult that is to do. What J.D. Martinez was able to do on that home run is that was a pitch on the inner half where he got his hands inside of that and hit it out to the opposite field. Like, literally 98% of hitters in Major League Baseball are going to try to pull that ball. And J.D. Martinez had the foresight and the knowledge, the guy's a hitting savant, to pull his hands inside and hit that out to the opposite field. It's incredible to watch that guy at the plate. But nonetheless, what popped out to me is the fact that he's hitting second in the lineup. It just didn't make sense to me. So Ron Renicki did his first of his weekly hits. Every Wednesday, he's going to be on OMF at 2:30, just like Alex Cora was a season ago. And here's what he had to say about J.D. Martinez hitting in the two-hole.
It's kind of Bogey's comfort zone, and where he'd be, it's J.D.'s comfort zone. I talked to J.D. about it. I guess they tried it a little bit in Detroit before with him. And it's just kind of what makes sense. So if we go, you know, a week into this and all of a sudden it looks like if we flip-flop those two that it would work well, we may try that. But I think ideally, if I wasn't worried about a left-handed reliever coming in and facing those two lefties, I would like to leave it the way it was, which was Devers second, J.D. third, and Bogey four. I think just the history of those guys and what they can do, I think that's a little bit scarier to go through a lineup with that look. And I know that they've produced in those spots, so I would feel better. But knowing that starters don't really go that deep so much anymore, that bullpen use is going to be there, and left-handers are going to face both Benny and Devers. So, you know, maybe we end up going back to that.
I couldn't be more confused by his answer. I mean, really. So he said, ideally, he'd like to go with the look of Devers in the two-hole, JD in the three spot, and Bogarts in the four spot. But he's worried about relievers later on in the game. Don't worry about that. Just keep it simple. What we learned from Alex Cora last year is probably not a good idea to make a huge lineup change before the season when guys are comfortable in other positions. Remember last year, Cora decided to flip Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi, and neither one of those guys was comfortable at the beginning of the season. And by the way, he referenced the fact that J.D. Martinez hit second in Detroit. Okay, in 2016, he hit second, and in 149 plate appearances, he hit .226 with a .302 on-base percentage. J.D. didn't like hitting in the two-hole. Don't put him in the two-hole. It seems very simplistic to me. I think we're overthinking it when we're thinking about late in games with the relievers. And by the way, the rule changes affect this now, because a guy's going to be out there for, what, three batters. So the rule changes affect this as well. But when I look at it, the player is comfortable in a spot. J.D. Martinez is comfortable hitting third in the lineup. He admitted as much, okay? And by the way, Ron Renicki admitted as much that J.D. doesn't like hitting second. And by the way, when he hit second in Detroit, he didn't perform at a high level. And especially a guy like J.D., who is so scientific with his approach, he is a hitting savant, as I mentioned. I don't want to make him uncomfortable at all. And by the way, Devers last year in the two-hole, 334 batting average, an OPS over 1,000, and he hit 19 home runs. So just keep Devers there. So I get what Renicki's saying in terms of the lineup, whatnot. I just feel like he's overthinking this. Just stick to what worked last year for these guys. J.D. Martinez is more suited to hit third or fourth in a lineup. And Rafael Devers is like the perfect two-hitter, okay? Rafael Devers is a free-swinging guy. And I like J.D. Martinez to be a little bit lower in the order, or third or fourth in the order, I should say, not lower, because of the fact that I always feel comfortable when there is a runner on base that J.D. Martinez is going to give you a professional at-bat and he's going to bring somebody in. Not to say that Rafael Devers isn't a professional hitter. He's already one of the best hitters in the sport. But when I just look at it from this perspective, J.D. Martinez, I just know he's going to put the ball in the right place. I just know he's going to have the right approach at the plate. And if Devers was so good in that two-hole where he can swing freely, why wouldn't you just leave the two guys where they were? That's what, it just doesn't make any sense to me. J.D. Martinez is a guy that you went out and what? He's scheduled to make $24 million, but if you do the math, his prorated salary is going to be what? $9 million? He's going to make around $9 million this season. He's one of your premier players. He's one of your three best hitters when you're talking about Devers, Bogarts, and J.D. Just don't mess around with it. I just don't feel the need to mess around with it because of what may happen later on in the game. These guys are comfortable hitting where they are in the order. We saw it last night. Pearson, the guy wasn't on in terms of his location. That guy had ridiculous stuff in terms of the fastball. It doesn't matter. When these guys are at the plate, they're going to hammer that if you put it in the wrong spot. I'd much rather this team be jumping on guys early. I'm not worried about later on in the game in terms of the matchup with relievers, okay? I'm more worried about these guys being comfortable. And by these guys, I'm talking about Bogarts, who clearly likes the cleanup role, J.D. Martinez, and Devers. I feel like you could put Devers anywhere. Devers, it feels like he's too young to know anything at this point in time. He's comfortable anywhere in the lineup. But I like Devers in the two-hole, and I really like J.D. hitting third or fourth. That's just my preference. I don't know why we're trying to recreate things and put J.D. Martinez in the two-hole. I get that a lot of teams across baseball like to put their best hitter in the two-hole. Trout has done it right. I understand all that. But Devers is good enough to hit in the two-hole, right? When you're talking about your best hitters, 334. This guy hit in the two-hole last year. Just don't mess around with the lineup. You're overthinking it. Don't worry about that. Like, this is the least of your issues with the Red Sox. What Ron Renicki should be super focused on is, how do I get through the bullpen? How many innings are these starters going to give me, et cetera? That's the stuff that he should be worried about. Don't overthink the lineup. Seriously, don't. Come on. Don't overthink the lineup. 617-779-7937. The number, Brian Barrett with you until midnight. Let's get to Mike. He's in North Providence tonight. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, you know, the thing here is, though, last year, Mookie was batting leadoff with J.D. batting third. So you have the two of the best right-handed hitters in baseball surrounding Devers. So you're going to put Benny and Devers in a row. You're basically inviting all the left-handed relievers to come and face them. So he's right about that. But to put J.D. batting second, I mean, if you're going to go and make this change, you put Xander there.
Yeah, you know? If you're going to do it, I would do it that way too. And Mike, the fact that J.D. Martinez has admitted that he wasn't comfortable doing it, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't play any mental games with J.D. Martinez at the plate. Just let him hit where he's comfortable hitting.
Well, in particular, I mean, these guys, once you get on base, actually have to run. You're going to put the slowest guy in the number two spot. You know,
that's a good point.
I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense. You know, what would really open the door for sanity to emerge is somebody other than Benny to be the leadoff guy, and you can put Benny back in the five hole again.
Well, Mike,
and then, you know, a right-handed hitter batting leadoff. I don't know how that's going to plan out. But
Mike, that's another great point. I mean, last year, Benintendi was not good when he hit leadoff. When they pushed him back, he was significantly better. So Benintendi's not comfortable being a leadoff hitter, and I understand maybe Verdugo's a candidate down the road. I understand that they have a more comfort level with Benintendi, but he was not good as a leadoff hitter. Why are we having that experiment happen again? That's another thing that irritates me about the lineup.
Yeah, and with regards to the Bet signing by the Dodgers today, I'm so happy it wasn't the Red Sox that made that signing. I mean, the significance of 12 years, 365, it's their year-round commitment to him, right? 12 months and 365 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't pick that by accident. But it's just, it's one of these things where, I mean, we already seen with what's happening with Pedroia. Imagine the Pedroia scenario being with a much larger contract, paying literally three times as much money for it. I mean, it's nothing against Mookie. Mookie's a great player right now, right? But this is a Dodger organization. It just doesn't have any financial discipline. Kind of just buying into, I mean, maybe this would make sense for somebody like Trout, who's still a gigantic, powerful guy, and when he slows down, he's going to have that. But what's Mookie going to be 10 years from now?
Yeah, Mike.
I just don't see that anymore.
Mike, I even think about Mookie 3-4 years from now. I believe he's in his prime, and I don't believe his prime's going to last as long as other players do. He's only 5'10". He's about a buck 180. He doesn't hit the ball well to the opposite field. He doesn't have power to the opposite field. His game is based on his raw athleticism, his bat speed, and that stuff slows down over time. I just don't believe he's going to age well. Like, I don't think the middle portion of the contract is going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's one of these things, and like with any player, it's the risk aspect. It's 12 years, actually 13 if you include this season, because this isn't part of the 12. And at any point, you see this happen with baseball players, even if he just had the sort of injury that degraded his performance and just turned him to like a normal player, you're going to be paying $36 million a year for a normal player for like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And that's enough to cripple any team, including the Dodgers. And I'm just happy. You look at this team, we're talking about Xander. Xander's on a 6-year, $120 million deal. And when Rafi's time comes for his extension, where the Red Sox approach him, if they had Mookie around getting paid $300 million plus and they had Xander, what do you think Rafi's going to hold out for? So the Sox have literally taken themselves out of betting against themselves, and they've actually given Devers some motivation to take maybe a little bit more than what Xander's getting paid, but to take less and have the sure thing and just be comfortable with it, as opposed to waiting around and kind of like, you know, showing that they already paid that sort of big money once, maybe they'll do it again.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike, and I appreciate the phone call as always. 617-779-7937. That's a great point. So now Devers can't say, hey, I want the Mookie contract, right? Because the Red Sox didn't give Mookie the contract. So Devers can't say, hey, yeah, I want the Mookie contract. And the other thing is with these contracts, they hamstring the organization. I know I was kind of poo-pooing the stat earlier, but when you do think about it, like 14 guys have signed these contracts over $200 million, and only one of them has won a World Series, and that was Alex Rodriguez as a member of the Yankees, and they were just paying everybody, but it hamstrings the organization. Think about what the Nationals did a season ago. They didn't get Bryce Harper to come back. Bryce Harper goes to the Phillies, and they're able to allocate their money in different areas. They still pay their guys good money, but the reason Steven Strasburg is back with the Nationals is because Bryce Harper is not under contract. They can give Steven Strasburg, oh yeah, the World Series MVP, that contract this offseason to come back, and you still have Scherzer and Strasburg atop your rotation. You still have those guys atop your rotation because you aren't paying Bryce Harper, what, $330 million. So that's how the Nationals benefited from this. Now they can spend their money in other places going forward. 617-779-7937, the number. Wally is in Fall River tonight. Wally, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, Brian? A couple of things I want to hit on. As far as Mookie, he's gone with the win. We can't. The only thing I was upset with Mookie is they didn't get much for him. They got a can of sardines, and they got a can of beans, so they didn't get much for him.
But, hey, we'll see. Hey, Wally, we'll see. We'll see what Verdugo is. He was a highly touted prospect in 2018. He was top 40 in baseball, and then they're high on the Jeter Downs kid. So we'll see. And Wally, remember, part of the equation was that is you had to put David Price in the deal, so that doesn't help you in terms of the return because the Dodgers are paying half of his contract, so you kind of hamstrung there.
I mean, this pitching staff is like a slice of Swiss cheese. It's full of holes. I mean, we're going to have to get off to a better start. This season's going to fly by, Brian. We know that. It's only 2 months. So if you dig yourself a hole early, you're not going to get out of it. But as far as Mookie, 13 years, I mean, it's amazing. I'm not a Yankee fan, but can you imagine Lou Gehrig with the production they got out of him for 14 straight years? Maybe you're going to get 4 or 5 quality years out of Mookie, but he's just a pipsqueak. He's just a little guy. You know, I don't know if he has the durability or what.
Yeah. Hey, Wally, I appreciate the phone call as always. I don't believe Mookie's going to age well, to your point. Pipsqueak, I wouldn't call him that. He's 5'10". 180. I don't believe the player is going to age incredibly well. I give Mookie credit. He told us all that he wanted to get to free agency. Now, ultimately, he didn't get to free agency, but he did essentially get the contract that he wanted to. So I got to give Mookie Betts credit. I know me personally, $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, especially considering he had some down years in there when you're looking for Mookie Betts. I'm not talking about for normal baseball players. But for Mookie Betts, 17 was not good, and 19 was not particularly great for Mookie Betts last year. Now, he still led the team in on-base percentage, et cetera, but he wasn't near the MVP version of Mookie Betts. So I give him a lot of credit for saying, you know what, I'm going to get the contract that I want, and he essentially did. $365 in the extension, $392 million total. He was able to get it. Good for him. I don't believe it's going to work out well for the Dodgers in the long term, so they better win a World Series in the next couple of years because they're going to have to pay Bellinger as well. They're not going to get rid of Bellinger. That guy just won the National League MVP. He's a phenomenal player. So you get those two guys together. You got a really good pitching staff this year when you're thinking about the likes of Buehler and Kershaw, etc. Still got a good third baseman in Turner. Hey, that team's really good. You got to get it done soon. Let's get to Chris. He's in Ipswich. What's up, Chris? Hey, Chris, you there? Chris?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute there.
Oh,
listen, I can't believe there's people calling into this station and the other station saying the Red Sox screwed this up. His batting average went down by 56 points last year, and they want us to sign him to a 12-year contract. The same personality that bemoan how Eovaldi was a bad contract, and all these contracts are bad, and they're killing the Red Sox. They want the Red Sox to give this guy a 12-year contract.
Hold on, Chris.
And
he's a speed player. Chris, hold on one second. So, me personally, I believe the Red Sox made the right move getting rid of Mookie. I didn't agree with the Eovaldi contract and the sale of contracts, but I believe this is the right move, that the Red Sox didn't sign Mookie Betts and they traded him. So, don't get me confused for somebody else. Oh.
No, I'm not getting you confused. I agree 100% with you, but if you listen to this station during the day and people calling in, there seems to be a groundswell of, hey, the Red Sox screwed this up. He's a homegrown talent. I don't think the guy ever really liked Boston. I mean, I'm a New Englander, but I've traveled all over the country, lived other places. It's unlike a lot of places in this country. He's a Georgia kid, Florida kid, who maybe just didn't like playing up here, didn't like the strange food and strange weather, and finally somewhere he wants to be. But my God, I mean, there are people who destroy the Red Sox for some of these contracts and are calling up and saying, could you imagine if he had a 250 season next year and we were stuck with him for another 12 seasons, how pissed off people would be at the Red Sox?
Yeah, and Chris, the other point I would make too about that is the fact that you have people in this town today calling the Red Sox cheap for not getting this deal done with Mookie Betts. Give me a break. They offered him $300 million. At some point, you got to say, okay, $300 million is enough. And by the way, I would have thought if the Red Sox signed him to that contract, it would have been a mistake in my mind. In my mind, that would have been a mistake. I don't think he's going to be good 5 years from now. I don't think the player is going to age well. But for people to call this organization cheap and basically use that as a criticism of why they didn't sign Mookie Betts, that's a joke. They had the highest payroll the past 2 years in baseball. If you want to blame Dave Dombrowski for some bad contracts, fine. Go ahead and do that. I'll do that as well. I have no issue with that. But to call this organization cheap is a joke.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, we're the 10th biggest metro area in the country, and we got an ownership because the fans love the game here. We have an ownership that spends a lot of money. You can't complain with how much money they spend every year. I don't think a lot of younger millennials remember what it was like to be a Red Sox fan when the Yankees spent no money and it was just a poorly run organization. You know, this is, you know, did Dombrowski sort of empty the cupboard? Yeah, they sort of paid him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe how many people are saying we should give a baseball player who is about speed more than power a 12-year contract. And if he had bad years where we had to eat it, they would be complaining that the Red Sox don't have enough money to sign other players. It's just, I think it's really a blessing that we didn't sign up for this 12-year, you know, huge contract.
I agree with you, Chris. I agree with you. And outside of, and thank you for the phone call, and outside of Mike Trout, which one of these teams feels good about these contracts? Okay, the Angels' first contract, Albert Pujols, that big, massive contract. You think they feel good about that right now? You think the Yankees feel good about the trade they made for Stanton and the contract they're paying the guy? I remember what he did in the postseason against the Red Sox in no-show. No-show. Guy chases everything. You think they're happy about that contract? You think the Phillies aren't a little bit thinking to themselves, hold on, we just signed the Harper guy to 13 years for $330 million, whatever it was, north of $300 million, and his team that he just left won the World Series, and when he left, that team actually got better. That team actually got better. The Astros are the one team, and look, there's a lot to factor in here. That team cheated, but those contracts, like Altuve's a manageable contract. Bregman's a manageable contract. When you look across the sport, these big inflated contracts, ordinarily, they don't work. That's just the reality of the position. That's just the reality of the sport. They usually don't work. And I guarantee you, it's funny. People want to complain about everything about the Red Sox. I have my certain things that, and I went through it all last year with Sale and with Eovaldi. Those contracts, those pissed me off. I didn't like them. They didn't make sense to me at the time. This isn't me second-guessing them. I said it at the time. I didn't like either one of those contracts, okay? So I'm not second-guessing this. But we have to be fair. We have to be fair. So the same people, if Mookie Betts signed that contract with the Red Sox, would be saying, oh, that's a dumb deal if he signed it with the Red Sox. But now that he's somewhere else, oh, the Red Sox are cheap. Come on. You got to be fair. You have to be fair. If you're going to complain about all the other contracts with the Red Sox and then say, oh, well, they should have done the Mookie Betts one, come on. Let's at least be fair with this. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Okay, one thing that does worry me about the Red Sox, I'll get to that next, and we'll get you a trending in just a second.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, if you want to join me, I'm with you until midnight, 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Mookie Betts contract, certainly welcome to do so. Your expectations as we get ready for the 2020 season, which gets underway on Friday night as the Red Sox take on the Orioles. I do love the fact that Major League Baseball and the union are now discussing whether or not they should expand to 16 teams. Yeah, you got like 24 hours, last minute negotiations. See if you can get it in there to get 16 teams in the playoffs rather than 10. Yeah, you, not like you've had time to discuss this stuff. Unbelievable to me. This stuff only happens with Major League Baseball. What a joke. So we'll see. We may know by the end of the show if they agree to go to 16 teams rather than 10. We may have an answer for you by the end of the show, so stay tuned. All right, now I told you that I'm excited for this Red Sox team in terms of the lineup with Devers and with Martinez and with Bogarts. It's going to be awesome. And by the way, Renicki is raving about Benintendi. So we'll see if he takes a step forward this season, if he makes that leap into not just a good player, but a really good player. But what I feel could be the most frustrating part of this season, because the offense is so good, is last year we thought the pitching staff heading into the season would be good, mainly the starters. You felt good about Price coming off the World Series run. You thought Sale would be healthy. Clearly he wasn't. You felt good about Eovaldi because he had the nice postseason run. He wasn't healthy. Erod actually did perform at a pretty high level last year, and I feel like he took a step forward. But you have so many damn questions this year that you know about in the rotation and that you know about in the bullpen entering the season. When last year, really, we thought, okay, you need some more relievers, and then Dave Dombrowski told us, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to get Andrew Cashner, and he's actually going to help the bullpen. It's like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Dombrowski had lost it at this point. He thought because Cashner was going to be a starter, it helped the bullpen. Didn't work. And then the next thing he said is, hey, nobody else has somebody coming back that throws 100. And then Nathan Eovaldi was not good out of the bullpen. But anyway, we felt those questions as the season went on and the health concerns with Sale and with Price. But you felt good about the rotation entering the season, and they just fell apart. But if you look at this year, you have questions about the bullpen and you have questions about the starting rotation as you get ready for the season on Friday. And I look at last year. Just think about this for a second. The Red Sox were fourth in all of baseball in runs scored. They finished with 901. Here were the other teams in the top eight. The Yankees, the Twins, the Astros. Those are the only teams that scored more than the Red Sox, by the way, because the Red Sox were fourth. After the Sox at fifth, you had the Dodgers, who made it to the championship series. They lost to the Nationals, followed by the Nationals, who won the World Series. The Atlanta Braves at 7, who actually won the NL East a season ago, and you had the A's at 845 runs. So what do all of those teams in the top 8 besides the Red Sox have in common? Every single one of those teams that was in the top 8 in runs scored last year, besides your Boston Red Sox, made it into the postseason. So we could very easily see that same scenario presenting itself again this season. This team is a top 5 offense in the sport, and it feels like another great offense, in my mind, is going to be wasted, just like last year, the offense was wasted. And this is what irritates me, is all these other teams could scrap together enough pitching. Some have elite staffs, in the case of the Nationals and the Astros. But the point being, you're the one team that can't put together the proper pitching. And it's not like Chaim Bloom could solve this problem in a year. It's going to take him time. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying it's kind of aggravating as a Red Sox fan. It reminds me almost of a football team with just like one side of the ball being really good and the other side of the ball just sucking. Really, if you think about it, the Patriots are like this for a number of years. Remember really from about 09 to 13, the Patriots had that elite offense and it took them a while to get the defense back to where it was in the early part of the Patriots run. 14, they get Revis and they had just recently drafted Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower. And you had the undrafted guy and Malcolm Butler. But that's really when the defense started to become really good again for the Patriots. But there was this four-year stretch where the defense really wasn't that good. And your offense was great. And then Eli Manning lit you up in the Super Bowl. Remember the famous pass to Mario Manningham. And it kind of feels like to me at this point in time, the Red Sox are kind of in the same situation where this is going to be an incredible offense. But the defense, or in this case, the pitching staff, is not going to be good. And it would be one thing in my mind if the team just sucked, right? If you were the Tigers, if you were the Orioles, and your team in general, just the entire team sucked, it would be one thing. But what stinks about this team is your team is going to be so damn good offensively, and you have no pitching. So it's like you have one side figured out. You have the lineup figured out, but you have no pitching whatsoever. I mean, is there a bigger difference in Major League Baseball when you compare a team's offensive production, the players they have in the lineup, compared to what you have in your pitching staff? Because you have three guys that could easily contend for the MVP in J.D. Martinez, Rafael Devers, and Xander Bogaerts. Bogaerts had, what, a top five finish a season ago in terms of the MVP. So you could easily see any of those guys contending for the MVP. But the problem is when you look on the other side, you have no consistency whatsoever. Your best pitcher, your highest paid pitcher, is dealing with Tommy John surgery. Okay, so he's not part of the equation. Then you have a guy like Nathan Eovaldi, complete unknown. Anybody that tells you what they expect from Nathan Eovaldi this year, don't listen to him because they don't know. They have no idea. Because last year, oh, he's going to be great coming out of the bullpen. Oh, he's healthy after he's coming off the surgery. He's going to be good. Well, he wasn't good as a starter last year, and he wasn't good as a reliever last year. So anybody that tells you they have an idea of what Nathan Eovaldi's going to do, I'm sorry, I don't trust him. Now, you do feel good about Erod last year. You feel good about his progress, but the problem for Erod is this. When is he going to be able to start a game? He's returning from coronavirus, and look, you can't avoid getting, well, I guess he can in a certain way, but not in the case of Erod. Unfortunately, the guy had coronavirus. He talked about the fact that he felt like he was 100 years old, could barely do anything. So the guy that was supposed to be the number one starter in your rotation, the ace of your staff, you don't know when he's going to be back. And then you're trusting a guy like Ryan Weber, who, admittedly, he was good last night, or at least good enough, where he gave up, what, 4 earned runs in those 6 innings. With this lineup, that should be good enough, but the bullpen, of course, didn't close the door. But you juxtapose Martinez and Bogarts and Devers with what you have in the pitching staff. I mean, come on. It could not be more different. So it's one thing when your whole team sucks. Like, I could even stomach that more. But the painful thing about this Red Sox team is going to be this. When you're watching this team and they put up 8 runs and they lose, that sucks. They put up 10 runs and they lose. They put up 6 runs and they lose. That's the thing that I feel like we're going to have to brace ourselves for, because it's just going to be so damn aggravating that you're going to have one of the better offenses in the entire sport, and then you're going to have to look at the other side and say, how the hell is Ron Renicke going to get 9 innings out of this combination of starters or openers? And then you get to the bullpen. Because quite frankly, I don't trust a whole lot of guys in the bullpen. Workman is supposed to be your closer, and I understand that. But last year he had 45 walks. He's earned the opportunity to get the closer spot, but it's not like I would have a long leash with Workman. This guy walked 45 guys last year. I understand it. Numbers were outstanding. 13 strikeouts per 9 innings. But the rest of his career, he's never been a dominant pitcher. Never been a dominant pitcher. In fact, the Red Sox weren't planning him or planning on him having a big role last year coming out of the bullpen. Their high leverage guys were supposed to be Matt Barnes and Ryan Brazier. Those were supposed to be their high leverage guys. And then Workman just had this unbelievable season. Are you trusting that Workman, who doesn't throw a whole lot of strikes, we saw it last year, do you trust that that guy's going to be a lockdown closer? That's a concern for me. Matt Barnes, we saw last year, he wore down and he really struggled when he was pitching on back-to-back days. He had like an ERA north of 6. Well, this year you're going to need a whole lot of that from Matt Barnes if you're going to be winning baseball games. And I have my concerns if he's going to be able to do it. Now, maybe you say, okay, well, last year he was just overworked at the beginning of the season. Maybe if you didn't overwork him, he could have been better. Maybe that's the case. But nobody can tell you that they're 100% sure that Barnes is going to have a great season. Even 70% sure. And last night, he gives up a home run to Derek Fisher, right, in the exhibition game. And then Ryan Brazier, and maybe you can point to the fact that, look, they had him in the ninth inning. Clearly, that's not a good role for him. But Ryan Brazier's got to show some consistency, because he was not good last year. He was good in 18. He was not good in 19. So is Ryan Brazier going to be one of the critical guys? And then the other thing that would concern me is the fact that Taylor and Darwinson Hernandez, who both showed a whole lot of promise last year. I'm not diminishing anything those guys did. Those are two of the bright spots on the team last year, to go along with Devers and Bogarts and Martinez and Erod. You felt good about Hernandez because it was frustrating because he was such a highly touted pitching prospect in your organization. He just couldn't throw strikes as a starter. So you felt good that the Red Sox found a spot for him in the bullpen. His stuff plays out of the bullpen. That fastball, a lot of late life on it. But these two guys, Ron Renicke said after 20 pitches yesterday in the bullpen, they were taxed because they're both coming back from the coronavirus. So how long is it going to be before these guys are key contributors? Because, yeah, they may be back on the field, but how long is it going to take for them to actually be ready to pitch in high-leverage situations, get you out of jams, etc., which you ask big-time relievers to do? So this bullpen, question marks up and down. I don't have faith in any of the guys in the bullpen right now. I really don't. I don't have faith in any of the guys in the bullpen. Workman, I know he showed signs last year, but I'm not trusting a guy that walks 45 people in a season. I'm sorry. He walked more guys than David Price did last year, and David Price, a damn starter. He walked more guys than Chris Sale did last year. He walked as many guys as Rick Porcello, who pitched more than 100 innings more than the guy. So I'm not going to trust that guy. So it just, I'm bracing for it that you're going to get excited. Devers going to hit home runs, and Bogarts is going to hit home runs, and JD is going to do his thing. You may have 3 guys that hit over 300, right? And I understand it's tough to predict numbers at a season like this. But then you're going to be looking up at the scoreboard, and it's going to be, holy crap. Devers hit a home run. Bogarts has 2 hits. JD has 2 hits. Benintendi has a hit. and he drove in a couple of runs, and you're down 9-7 in the seventh inning. What the hell? What the hell? Because it'd be one thing if it's just like, all right, the Red Sox are losing 12-2 and 7-1. But the fact that you know one side of your team, your offense, is so damn good, and the other side, you have questions up and down, that's the most aggravating part. And that's the thing that I think is going to piss me off the most about this Red Sox team this year. And we already saw it in the exhibition game last night. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. I do want to get into Cam Newton because he has arrived in Massachusetts. He worked out with Julian Edelman yesterday. I believe it was yesterday in Los Angeles. He posted it this morning. What does that mean for the Patriots going forward? One concern I have with the Newton-Edelman relationship on the field. But I do want to get to Tom Brady next because he tweeted something, and I have no idea why Tom Brady is tweeting this out. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
From San Mateo,
you lose, Tom.
Dared to dream the impossible. IWC presents Tom Brady chasing his dream against all odds. Born of a dream, only at IWC.com.
All right. That's great. The newest Tom Brady project coming out soon. 617-779-7937, the number. I feel like he's really, and I understand it, like why he does it, why he has the chip on his shoulder. But in my mind, it's kind of overplayed. Like, you went to one of the best college programs in the country, right? This isn't like you came out of nowhere, right? And you didn't play at a premier, like Josh Allen played at Wyoming, right? Wasn't highly recruited. Tom Brady played at Michigan. Okay, and he dropped to the sixth round. Like, it's crazy that he dropped to the sixth round. But if he wasn't treated poorly at Michigan with Drew Henson, he would have been a higher pick, right? And then he sat out for 1 year with the Patriots, and the next year he was the starting quarterback. He never looked back. But it's not as if Tom Brady came out of nowhere. The guy played at Michigan, so I've always felt like that was a little bit overhyped. It's great that he has that boulder on his shoulder, but, I mean, come on, man. You played at Michigan. Anyway, I wanted to get to this. So Brady tweeted out tonight, quote, "There are more questions than answers, but we must have faith in our NFLPA leaders, both players and staff, to get the game and the business of football in the right place. Let's stay unified and demand necessary answers from at NFL as partners. We're all in this together. Hashtag LFG." Okay, so that's Tom Brady saying, hey, we're all in this together, guys. We're going to get a deal done. Let's get it done. And the NFL and the Players Association have done a ton of stuff over the past couple of days, agreeing on testing and stuff along those lines. Apparently, the first 4 days, they're going to have to test every day. And once it's under 5% in terms of a positive test rate, then they'll start to test every other day. But Tom Brady puts it out here, let's stay unified. Remember, this is after he was called out by Jarvis Landry, what, like a week and a half ago now? They said, hey, Jarvis Landry put on Twitter, we need your help, Tom, which I thought was a little ridiculous to tweet at Tom, hey, please help us out. I don't know how much this tweet helps. And by the way, Tom Brady kind of looks out of touch with his tweet because his hashtag at the end of this is hashtag LFG, which is like his catchphrase. Not that he made it up, but he says that before every game. Let's bleep and go, right? Tom Brady has always said that. But what the players have been saying is we want to play. That's been their hashtag for like a week. Have you noticed? That's what the players keep using. We want to play. Tom Brady's trying to do something, put something on social media. He can't even get the hashtag right. He goes with his own hashtag. So he kind of looks like out of touch when he's talking to his other players. It looks like somebody just said, hey, Tom, maybe you should post something about the Players Association and the NFL and support the rest of the players in the league. And Tom's like, all right, I'll do it. And he doesn't even get the hashtag right. I mean, come on, Tom. Be better than that, man. And if I feel like this is kind of funny for Tom Brady to be saying, listen to the Players Association. That's what Tom Brady's saying right now. Do you remember this? When Tom Brady was asked, and not just Tom Brady, but basically you had the medical director of the Players Association, Dr. Tom Mayer. He tweeted, or he released a statement through the Players Association saying this, after they had all these workouts going on throughout the country, especially where Tom Brady was in Florida. He said this. This is the medical director of the Players Association. Quote, please be advised that it is our consensus medical opinion that in the light of the increase in COVID-19 cases in certain states, that no players should be engaged in practicing together in private workouts. Our goal is to have all the players and your families as healthy as possible in the coming months. We're working on the best mitigation procedures at team facilities for both training camps and the upcoming season, and believe that it's in our best interest of all the players that we advise against any voluntary joint practices before training camp commences. So the NFLPA's medical director says, hey, guys, you got to stop doing the group workouts because we think it's not in the best interest of actually having an NFL season in 2020, so stop working out together. What does Tom Brady do? The very next day, he posts the workout that he does with his Tampa Bay Buccaneers teammates, and he quotes FDR, saying the only thing to fear is fear itself. So now Tom Brady is on Twitter, and he's putting this out to all his social media followers. He says, we must have faith in our NFLPA leaders. What? Tom Brady is saying we must have faith in the Players Association leaders. Well, hold on. Like a month and a half ago, when one of the leaders, the medical director of the Players Association, was saying, hey, guys, we have to stop doing these group workouts. You basically mocked them for saying that. You ended up working out, and then you put on your Instagram, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Now, I'm not trying to get into this whole discussion of whether or not Tom Brady should have been doing that. Okay, I'm not going to open that whole can of worms again. But I'm just pointing out the fact that just about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, whenever it was, Tom Brady was on his social media account basically going against what the Players Association was saying. The Players Association was saying, hey, no more of these group workouts. The medical director of the Players Association was saying, no more group workouts. Tom Brady said, okay, well, I think I should be doing workouts. So he posts, the only thing to fear is fear itself, with a bunch of his teammates after a workout. And now today, he's on his social media account saying, hey, we must have faith in our NFLPA leaders. So now apparently Tom Brady trusts the Players Association leadership, and now he's on the side of the Players Association when it comes to this. In my mind, all this was from Tom Brady was this is Tom Brady making it look like he's trying to work to a result and work to getting a season underway and just trying to put it out there through his social media account that, hey, guys, let's listen to everybody involved. Instead of actually getting his hands dirty and getting into these discussions with the Players Association. I'm not telling you that Tom Brady needs to be part of these discussions, but I'm saying this tonight, where he puts this on his social media account, it seems like a lame effort from Tom Brady. Completely lame effort from Tom Brady. If you want to be part of the negotiations, you have a very powerful voice in the NFL. I'm not telling you you have to do it, but don't tweet something out tonight talking about the fact that, hey, listen to the leadership when about 6-7 weeks ago you weren't listening to the leadership. That just, in my mind, it seems hypocritical. And this, in my mind, this tweet that Brady sends out, it's hollow to me. Completely hollow. If Brady actually wanted to do something for the Players Association, he'd be involved in these things. He'd be involved in these talks, etc. And I'm not saying that Jarvis Landry was right to call him out, but if Tom Brady actually wanted to have an impact on this stuff, he would be more involved instead of just putting a tweet out like this. And by the way, at least if you're going to do this, get the hashtag right. We want to play. That's what the players have been putting out there. So in my mind, if I was another player in the league tonight, I'd be like, what the hell? So Brady's going to tweet about this, and he's not going to do anything after a player had already called him out. He's just going to sit here and he's going to tweet this out. I mean, come on. Seems like a hollow attempt. in my mind, from Tom Brady. And obviously, Brady needs a season more so than most of the other guys in the league because he wants to prove that Bill was wrong to let him go and that he can succeed without Bill Belichick. So it's imperative for Tom Brady to get on a football field this season. We all know this because he's got a short window. He's got 2 years to prove that he can still win and can still win at a high level. And now we're looking at testing every other day when these guys get to training camp. I mean, this seems like a lot that the NFL still has to iron it out. Or there's still a lot that the NFL has to iron out here. By the way, just a little digression. Mark Davis, did you see this article that Mark Davis did? He did an article with ESPN where he said that he could see a scenario where they don't have a season. What do you think the rest of his partners in the league think after hearing that? The rest of the NFL owners are like, dude, what are you doing? We're doing everything we possibly can to get a season underway, and you're talking to a publication about the fact that you may not have a season? He had some crazy ideas, too, like, okay, only play a 12-game season and take away the intra-conference games. Like, Mark Davis is just going on the record talking about all this. Unfortunate for the Raiders, by the way, because the Raiders are now moving to a new place in Las Vegas. There was a lot of buzz for that team, and they're not going to have fans there. So unfortunately for the Raiders, their first year in Vegas is not going to be very memorable, and the team sucks anyway, but that's a different discussion for a different day. But this whole idea of Tom Brady tweeting this out tonight, I felt like this is a hollow tweet, and there wasn't much to it. And when I start to think about if Tom Brady really wanted to have an impact on these negotiations, he would be getting more involved. Like, you've had guys being active on social media and actually being involved in the conversation for weeks now, like J.J. Watt and Tom Brady. After weeks, people have been asking to hear from Tom Brady. This is what he puts out there. I mean, come on, man. Do a better job. And for somebody to say, listen to the Players Association, at this point, Tom Brady should be the last guy to say that, because the last time the Players Association gave out advice, Tom Brady just completely went against it. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. All right, so Cam Newton has arrived in Massachusetts, landed this evening at Logan, and yesterday he was working out with Julian Edelman in Los Angeles. I believe it was yesterday. The video came out this morning, so I assume it was yesterday when these two guys worked out. I guess it took Cam's media company a couple of hours to put this out there on social media. It wasn't a long video, but he didn't put it out until today. So I want to get into what that means for the Patriots. And one concern I have for the Newton-Edelman on-field chemistry, if you will. I'll get to that next year on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.